We're collecting for Blankets Plus, in case you haven't quite caught on yet. But what is Blankets Plus through Church World Service? What does it do? The Church World Service Blankets Plus offering provides us with an effective, concrete way to help people in need around the world. And what does that help look like? Our help means blankets, of course. In Haiti, for example, 8,950 blankets were provided to victims of the terrible earthquake. In addition, blankets were distributed in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, and other states after heavy storm damage and to provide support in shelters for those who are homeless. Blankets mean warmth and the reminder that someone cares. Julie. Gifts to Blankets Plus also means safe water to drink. 1 billion people around the world live without access to safe water. Church World Service supported programs provide safe water to communities in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. Providing safe water transforms the health of the community and creates new opportunity for rural women who otherwise would spend hours each day walking for water from distant sources. Gifts to Blankets Plus also mean providing a way for struggling families to feed themselves. In Central America, Haiti, and elsewhere, Church World Service food security programs enable communities to develop the skills they need to have a reliable, nutritious diet and a way to earn income from the sale of their produce. Does anybody else think of American Gothic when they're saying Okay, Alex, you want to come on out? Gifts to Blankets Plus also mean opportunity for children. Through education and vocational training, Church World Service supported programs enable orphaned and other vulnerable children to realize their dreams of a better life with dignity. Okay, Alex, you can take the book and sit down. Thanks very much. As you can see, Blankets Plus means blankets and a lot more. We can do so much by supporting Blankets Plus through Church World Service. You can add that to your check and be as generous as you can. And thank you to all of my actors who got recruited a few minutes ago. You wouldn't believe this. All three of them, nobody has socks on, and they needed socks on for this message. Okay. Do you have socks under there? Oh, good. We've got somebody who might be a... Okay. Maybe the girls can pretend. I don't know. Okay. We have an assignment. Can you take off your shoes and your pretend socks without your hands? Let's see you work on it. You have to get your pretend socks off, too. How would you get your pretend socks off? Not easy, is it? Got to somehow get your toe inside the sock and pull it down. It's hard, isn't it, Alex? Yeah. Okay. You probably could do it if you worked at it long enough. You could also like use your elbows or something else. But anyway, if you worked at it long enough, you could probably get it done. But you made it harder than it had to be by keeping your hands away, right? There's a lot of things in life that maybe you can do them all on your own, but if you ask God for help, if you pray for help, God will help you. So maybe your spelling words, it's really hard for you to do your spelling words. Or maybe it's really hard to stop, talking back to your mom. Or maybe it's hard to remember something else that somebody's asked you to be a better kid. And if you pray to God, God will help you. And you might be able to do it all on your own, but it's like tying your hands behind your back and trying to take your socks off. You made it harder than you had to. So if you pray and ask God to help you with the things that you're trying to do, God will help you. All right, you can put your shoes back on, and thank you for the attempts here. Anything else we need to share? No? Okay. Can we say a prayer? God, we thank you for these children. We ask you to watch over all of our children all around the world. We ask you to keep them safe and let them feel your presence. Let them know that our hands are there to help. We ask that you guide us each day and help us remember to pray and listen for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Miss Eileen has things for you today. And I have stickers and bookmarks and a few erasers left. If anybody wants these, I have some new stickers. I have polar bears here. So that's a polar bear if you want a polar bear. Okay. Thank you for coming up. Let us pray. Holy God, womb of life, we praise you. We give thanks for deep sleep and bright mornings. We thank you for sun, rain, and crunchy snow. We remember you when our fridge is full and our bellies are empty. We know that all good things come from you. Blessed Savior, Jesus, our brother, we love your stories. Help us share them with children. Help us remember that everyone is a child you love. Help us to carry the realm of heaven in our hearts each day. May we do our part to grow heaven all around us. Breath of God, Holy Spirit, shake us from the habits and perspectives that weigh us down. Make us forgiving, kind, generous, and peaceful. Lift us to your work. Lift us to your love. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I've got some seeds to pass around here. Some mustard seeds. From Matthew 13, verses 31 to 35. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowd all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world." Here ends the reading from Matthew 13. My message this morning is called Tiny Seeds. Everyone should have a blank half sheet of paper. Have you got your paper? If not, wave your hands. Denny and Julie will bring you a piece of paper. Make sure you have a piece of paper. All right. There's a pencil in your pew or that pen in your purse, whatever. We have crayons. If you need crayons, you raise your hand and Denny has crayons for you. Please draw a mustard bush. If you don't know what one looks like, yours will be even better. Fill yours with leaves or flowers, but also animals and insect life. What types of homes or nests, what kinds of creatures might be sheltered in your mustard bush? Get creative. Add those weird animals you saw on Animal Planet or Nova. Are any people using your mustard tree? Fill your paper to the edges. You don't have to turn it in, there's no grades. Get as wild as you like with your mustard tree. You feel free to keep creating. A young person asked me this week about heaven, what I thought it was like. What do you think heaven is like? Is heaven a jeweled throne with an emerald rainbow and streets of gold? That's from the book of Revelation. Is heaven buying a great bucket full of barley for just a denarius? That also is in the book of Revelation. Mustard seeds are tiny. Perhaps you had a mustard seed necklace years ago, a sesame seed-sized white or black seeds suspended in clear plastic. There's a box of mustard seed passing around this morning. Make sure it gets passed along so everybody gets to see them. Jesus says the realm of heaven is like a mustard seed, right? Not entirely. Heaven is like a mustard seed that someone planted. And who might that someone be? It's not Jesus, because he's the one telling the story. Who plants the tiny seeds? Well, I would illustrate, but you know it's not polite for me to point at you. Planting one tiny seed is the beginning. Is that seed a real seed? Well, it might be if it's zucchini. It might be if that seed is zucchini and you share your extras with the neighbors and then you teach them how to cook it. Do you generously hand the neighbor kids a ball, or do you stay to teach them to play the wall ball that you played as a kid and let them teach you their favorite game as well? Is that the real life difference between scattering good seed and staying to help it grow? Often I encourage listeners to ask me questions. I'm called to plant and cultivate, as we all are. Discuss, argue, expand, grow that bush. I learned to knit hats last year. The Pastoral Relations Committee turned those hats into our first Crop Hunger Walk dinner and auction. Seeds growing into bushes, and nutrition for toddlers, and wells for thirsty villages, seeds growing and supporting new life. Maybe you are one of those who has heard the parables of Jesus over and over and over again over a long lifetime. You have always been told they mean this. Why did he teach these peculiar stories, these puzzling nursery rhymes? He could have just listed the rules. How often do you drive home on Sunday pondering the meaning of thou shalt not murder? Clear and simple does not lend itself to pondering or contemplating. Not many springboards in thou shalt not murder. The simple rules get stuck over on that wall plaque. Meanwhile, the parables lend themselves to discussion, argument, broad and narrow applications, new fields of study in new centuries. Yeast, Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Back when Jesus told that story, everyone lived with yeast. Every household used yeast to raise their bread. They had worked with yeast, sweetener, warm water, and flour, kneaded the dough for sticky and then firm. They watched it rise and then bake into soft, fragrant bread. They sunk their teeth into fresh loaves. Those of us who have been grown-ups a long time have worked a yeast bread or watched it done. We can imagine a little bit of heaven with the right additions rising and feeding a crowd, blessing the thousands who will use a new school or that village well. One of the delights, one of the marvels of the parables, the way Jesus told these stories, is that we can dream up new ways to understand them. Back then, in his day, no one imagined public schools, big places where all children could learn to write and figure. No one could dream of the Israelis collecting money to build a playground in Egypt or to send school supplies to Syrian refugee kids. Yet because of the way Jesus told his stories, we can dream bigger. We can imagine what God might be about in a world of barrel bombs and smartphones. A mustard seed that someone planted. Yeast worked into a great bowl of dough. Cut the lines tying your mustard seeds and yeast. Whatever someone once told you, erase it. If you put a squirrel in your mustard bush that you drew, you have already stretched beyond the world Jesus could imagine. These are parables on purpose. Allow the Nazarene carpenter to shake up your thinking, knock your expectations off balance. Take a few moments, just once this week, to think new thoughts. Invite your Creator to create a new thing through you. Where has the realm of our Maker already arrived? Where is their fertile ground? How might you plant new seeds this year? What if you shared God's big idea with 2 others? What might rise? How would that smell heavenly and feed a crowd? What if the 3 of you got the rest of us excited about those powerful little heaven seeds? What if we invited the whole community to plant, cultivate, knead, and bake? When we moved here, Reverend Paul Stark said that the Berg students had restarted the crop walk, but it just was not sustainable. They weren't going to do it again. Couldn't make it happen. Bill and I said Tiffin simply had to have a crop hunger walk. It worked when we brought many churches on board. Heaven seeds. Oh, but you say you live in an apartment and you've never planted seeds. Well, your bread comes from the store in that bag with the little twist tie. You know nothing about yeast. Is there yeast in there? Well, we need newer parables for you then, right? Imagine the realm of God is a computer virus that plants good changes in technology and its owners. The virus grows love and acceptance and generosity and cooperation. What would that virus look like? How would it spread? How would others feed it, cultivate it? When I trained as a mission interpreter for Global Ministries, the United Church of Christ mission arm, the best part was hearing all the stories of missionaries and those who had taken mission trips. Mission interns are recent college grads doing our mission work all over the world. I can picture the energetic young Erin who worked in the Dominican Republic. Her job was persuading families to keep their children in school. Small children, little seeds. An association minister told me the teens who traveled to Africa to build a school came back to Ohio and were able to articulate their faith, share God sightings as never before. Not the seeds they thought they were planting on that trip to Africa. The whole of this chapter, chapter 13 in Matthew's gospel, is parables about the realm of God and what it's like. Good fish and trash fish, pearls, yeast, treasure, seeds, investments. Jesus asked his followers if they understood, and they said yes. As dense as they were, as dense as we are, I hear, yes! Explain it again. Heaven seeds. What do they look like today? Consider all that Jesus risked. They said he was just Mary's son. What does he know? Think of our missionaries in Turkey, in South Africa, in Pakistan, in Hong Kong, in Chile. What have they given up? What sorts of seeds do they plant? A middle-aged man who had grown up in South America this year, he was talking to me. He was a child of missionaries. He remembers coming to the USA as a boy, marveling over tall buildings and escalators, vending machines, and coins. He had never seen coins. Think of the loneliness of our missionaries. Consider all the family events, the weddings, the deaths, the new babies they missed. What have we risked lately to plant heaven seeds? What has St. John's risked lately to extend an extravagant welcome, heal deep hurts, or spread hope and joy? Member Doug Collar recently talked about a play that St. John's produced in the 1950s. It was called A Home for Marvin. It was about a black family wanting to buy a house in a white neighborhood. Doug's father, he remembered this visit vividly, Doug's father played and starred as the table-pounding bigot. He broke the table. Reverend Harkins apparently brought the idea to St. John's. What a wacky notion that a church should care about prejudice, justice, and segregation, and it should put on a play to stir things up? Listening for new heavenly ideas. That would take time, though, and then we would have to talk about them, we'd have to clear the fallow ground, and plan for the new plantings. It would demand work every week. Everyone would think we were odd. Ripples on the water. We like still water. Calm water is easier. We want no ruffled feathers, no big waves. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the waters. God is stirring up kingdom seeds. Are we on board? Amen.